You're with Outlook from the BBC. I'm Matthew Bannister. Coming up, stories from Spain on the life and times of the great surrealist artist Salvador Dali. That's later. But next, we're in rural Bhutan to find out about a controversial practice known as night hunting. It's an age-old custom that allows a man to break into a woman's bedroom at night and ask her for sex. If the woman agrees, the man can stay the night, and their sexual liaison may or may not lead to marriage. The custom began because there was no formal way for young village men and women to meet and get married. But as Bhutan modernizes and young people have access to mobile phones, night hunting is dying out. In the villages where it does still go on, there's a debate as to whether this traditional custom should be stopped. Some claim the practice endangers women and encourages men to behave in a predatory way. Others say it's a unique and exciting way to fall in love. Outlook's Canada Beveridge has been to Bhutan to investigate.
Love songs have long been part of village life in Bhutan, as has the practice of night hunting, when a young man sneaks out under the cloak of dark and goes in search of romance. With a candle or torch, you will creep along the small cobbled pathways looking for an open window, a sign that his lover-to-be is ready to receive him. Nima is 80 years old. He has a twinkle in his eye and a zest for life. Night hunting, he says with a broad smile. That's how I met my wife.
This tradition has been going on for a very long time. Our elders were doing it, and that's how I learned. It is one way of furthering marriage in the community. Even I met my late wife through this practice. I told her that I'll be coming to her house at night, and she had kept a bottle of ara, local liqueur, near the bed for me. It is through this practice that we got together.
Night hunting developed in the villages of rural Bhutan out of necessity. Long hours working in the fields meant young people had no time to court or even meet anyone outside their family. The busiest times, says Nima, are between November and April, when the farm work is light and the weather is dry. Because night hunting is such an established tradition, it has a strict etiquette that men are supposed to follow. The most important rule, says Nima, is that a man should never force a woman to do anything she doesn't want to.
If the girl refuses, the boy would leave the house. And if the girl agrees, the boy is allowed to stay. And then before the sun rises, I have to leave her house. If we decide we want to get married, then she will let me stay till morning.
In Nima's day, men were out every night in the season trying to woo women, he says. Today, the practice is much less widespread, only alive in the remote parts of the country, where village customs remain strong and the architecture supports the old way of life.
The houses are made out of mud brick and wood, and the second story has ornately carved windows which don't have any glass in them. And these are the sorts of houses that were very easy to night hunt. And Jambe's here. He used to go night hunting when he was in his late teens and early 20s. And we're standing outside a house now that he says would have been typical of the sort of house that he would have climbed into.
We climbed the window, and then after reaching inside, we light the torch, but we reduce the power with our hand so that the parents, they will not know. So quietly we have to see where the girl is.
What happens if you go into the wrong bedroom?
That is our concern, and we have to see with the torch. If it is with the wrong bedroom, then we have to come out. And then we have to search another bedroom.
And if she's there, is she likely to beckon you in, or is she likely to say go away?
We have to let the girl know who we are. If the girl accepts, then we can stay with her. But if she don't accept, then we should not force her.
So did you ever go into a house without a girl's consent?
Yes. Once I did that one.
And what happened?
Unfortunately, during that time, her mother, she knew, and then she was just coming with some powerful torchlight. I just jumped back, then I ran away.
Do you think this is frightening for the girls here to suddenly find a man in her bedroom at night?
As it is normal, as it is a culture, mostly they will be not frightening.
Do you think a lot of girls got raped in this practice?
It is not rape. Because if the girl don't accept, we cannot do that.
What happens if you get a girl pregnant?
If she got pregnant, we had to keep her as our wife. So if we are caught by the parents, we have to be ever ready to marry with her. And if the boy cannot accept, so they can file the case to the court. And then court will decide what to do.
Sex is a delicate subject in Bhutan and one that people don't like to talk about openly. Women in particular shy away from the topic, not least because night hunting isn't always a positive experience for them. Choden is a single mother with three children, each conceived through night hunting. She lives in an isolated village called Bemji in central Bhutan.
And the road on which we're travelling at the moment to get to her village is practically impassable. In fact, it looks like we may not even get there. There are boulders that have come down from the mountain that are the size of trucks blocking the road, and landslips because it's monsoon, where the rains have literally washed the entire road away. And she's coming from Bemji village to meet us and probably having to walk about 5 hours to come and tell us her story.
We're eventually forced to stop as conditions become too dangerous. 3 hours later, a tiny dot appears walking around the edge of the mountain.
Here she is. She's been walking for several hours. Hello. Thank you so much for coming all this way to tell us your story.
So how old are your children?
The eldest one is 9 years old, the other is 4 years old, and the youngest is 9 months old.
So can you tell me about the first time that it happened?
The first man I allowed to enter my bedroom was a man who I had made an arrangement with. He came one night knocking at the door. Everyone in the house was sleeping and he crept in and we were together for the night. And that's how I got pregnant. He's still in the village working, but we are not together. He didn't ask me to marry him, so I didn't tell him I was pregnant. I thought my parents might ask him to marry me, but they didn't, so I left it.
So how did you feel about that when you were pregnant and he didn't want to be with you?
I was sad that he didn't want to be with me and thought he will take care of our baby, but it didn't happen.
After the first baby was born, Choden had more visits from men in the village. Soon she had three children with no father to provide for them. But this isn't the only difficulty women face. Sexual coercion and rape are also a problem.
Is there ever a fear you may get raped?
No, actually it has never become a dangerous situation. For me, I simply tell the man to go away. The main danger for women is having an unwanted pregnancy. The other women who have husbands in the village treat us very differently. They look down on us and it is very obvious to me, even though they try to keep their feelings hidden. There's quite a lot of discrimination. People don't show it, but deep inside, I think they think we are beneath them. And that's because we face so many difficulties when we don't have a husband. I feel quite ashamed. I feel like I can't raise my chest as high as other women who have a man in their life.
How do you feel now that you have three children from night hunting? Do you feel like you wish you hadn't made those arrangements?
I don't want to accept any more night hunters into my room. I think if I had understood the consequences, I wouldn't have allowed them in. People who want to get a husband seem to get them, but it hasn't happened for me. So I've given up any hope now of having a husband.
So Choden's just making her way back. It's another 4 hours for her to get home. And that was a very difficult conversation for her. I could tell she kept hiding her face in her hands and laughing because she was embarrassed. And I think people don't talk about these sorts of things, which must make it very difficult for women in these circumstances to actually tell anyone what's really going on.
There haven't been many studies on the practice of night hunting, but one person who has looked into it is Sharing Yangdon. Her PhD was disturbing reading. Not only are women regularly being coerced into having sex, some men are deliberately targeting illiterate women who have little awareness of their rights and who live in simple houses that are easy to break into.
There are many negative impacts that come out of it. Some of the participants talked about physical coercion, verbal coercion, manipulative coercion, you know. Even some of the men that I talked to, they all said they always had plan A and plan B when they went like that. Plan A was to butter up the women to get them to agree to their proposal. And if they were reluctant, then they tried to use some sort of force. That was plan B.
Are a lot of women really traumatized by it, do you think?
Some said they actually liked it because they could meet the people they liked. Some said it was, you know, they got married through that one, so it provided a means of getting their mates. But there were some who said they were really traumatized because sometimes they had fear of sleeping alone because men kept coming to, you know, disturbing them at night, so they had to be alert at night.
Nowadays, as new ideas about love filter in, the younger generation are turning their backs on night hunting. Mobile phones and the internet have made it so much easier to date. But it's not a practice that will be forgotten, say many village elders wistfully. It's something they're loath to let go of, because for them, it was the cornerstone of village romance.
Candida Beveridge reporting on the practice of night hunting in rural Bhutan.